Welcome back to The Investment Conversation. This is part of a special series we are doing for our 2024 mid-year outlook. I'm Joe Graham, head of the Investment Strategist Group here at Lord Abbett. And today I'm here with Dan Solander, who's a partner at Lord Abbett, director of our tax-free fixed income group. And Dan, how long have you been in muni bonds?
Been in the muni bond business since 1992.
What got you interested in munis?
It was a long time ago, but at the time, I really wanted to get into the money management business. And it was a very different time. It wasn't as big of a business yet. And I just started writing letters and scrambling to see what I could find. And I found an opportunity. Either you start in research or in portfolio management. I found an opportunity to be a portfolio manager right away if I did municipals. So that's what got me started. And within a few months of starting, I had funds to manage. And so it's been a long time. It's been fun for a long time.
Yeah, definitely a lot of history there. The team here at Lord Abbett has also been together for a long time as well. What do we have? We have six portfolio managers longer than 10 years together, something like that?
Right, that's the right number. We have six who started with us 2010 or earlier. And what's also interesting about the municipal bond group too is we have 10 portfolio managers and associate portfolio managers put together, and seven of the 10 have been homegrown, meaning we hired them, trained them here, and they've stayed here, you know, some for decade plus. So we've had a lot of success with that.
That's great. Well, thank you for being here today. And let's dig into the markets. I mean, so far this year, the most notable development has really been a continued bid for risk assets. Also with a backup in rates, you know, as we've had some higher inflation prints, kind of put the Fed on hold. How has the muni market held up through all that?
Well, we're off to a pretty good start of the year. And the difference between lower quality or high yield on the municipal bond side versus the taxable side is that we didn't have a rally last year. Last year, credit spreads stayed pretty much the same. You know, lower quality outperformed a little bit, mainly because they had longer duration. But in terms of credit spreads, we didn't move last year. This year, we have seen lower quality outperform and credit spreads come in a little bit, although we're still at an attractive point in the market. And a lot of it just has to do with credit quality is very strong in the market, and the yields are attractive, and the outlook is attractive, and it's pulling people into that part of the market.
Yeah. So we've had the higher rates, but we had such good starting yields to start with that most muni sectors have still been positive this year from what I've seen, right?
Right. Everything is pretty much positive. Lower quality is doing better.
Yeah.
But across the yield curve, everything is really – it really turned positive. It's been close to unchanged a lot of the year, and it's been turning positive a little bit in the last few weeks. But it's been – what's interesting, too, about this year is that on the high yield side is not only has the demand been strong with the credit quality, but – you know, we'll talk about supply, where supply has been pretty decently increased overall in the market. But on the lower quality side, the supply is not increasing. So we have a little bit of an imbalance with a lot of demand and not that much supply on the high yield side.
You know, let's talk about supply. So has there been more issuance ahead of the election? Is that something that's happened in munis?
We've had a decent, good size increase in issuance this year. And some of it has to do with the fact that for the last few years, there was a lot of stimulus money, a lot of budget surpluses, a lot of reason to hold off borrowing if necessary, and waiting for the rate environment to change. And now I think we've reached a point where some of the issues need to come to the market. Rates have come down a little bit, but they're kind of in a range right now. And we are seeing an increase. And the expectation, as you refer to, is that the summer should be a very strong time period for issuance too, because a lot of issuers do want to try to get their come to the market before the election and try to get their capital needs met.
I see. And then from the demand side, it seemed like flows started to recover kind of Q4 last year. I'm wondering, has there been a bump in muni flows this year? Because just from personal experience, you see your tax bill, you see how much taxable interest you're paying on things like money markets and taxable fixed income. Has that created, or is that just my personal experience, has that created a flow into muni bonds?
Well, we have a combination of a few different things on the demand side, but we are seeing some of that. We got a very large account recently with someone who, on the separately managed account side, someone who'd been in T-bills and saw their tax bill at the end of the year realized it was taxable and it maybe didn't work as well as they expected. And they shifted the whole account into municipals a few months ago. But one of the things on the municipal bond side, too, in terms of the demand, is this, the tracking indicators out there all are about the mutual fund side of the business. And mutual funds in 2022 had record outflows. 23, there were outflows, but just on the smaller side. And then 24, so far, we've seen positive flows, not enough to move the market, but it's turned positive. The other side of the equation, though, is separately managed accounts, which aren't tracked very well in the market. And they've been booming the whole time. They were very strong last year, continue to be very strong this year. Just there aren't a lot of good indicators, and the mutual funds get all the headlines. But one thing on the mutual fund side, too, is the inflows on the separately managed account side are across the board, long, intermediate, short, ladders, everywhere money's coming in. On the mutual fund side, it's more the longer and the high yield side that are getting the most of the flows so far this year.
I see. What's behind the drive in separate account activity?
I think a few different things on the separately managed account side. I think after we went through 2022, which was obviously a rough year for the markets, there were definitely advantages people saw on the separately managed account side where we could do tax loss selling. We had, you know, over 6,000 accounts ask us to do tax loss trading, things. There are a lot of things we can customize on that side. And on that side of the business too, you're kind of investing all the money now and the dividend looks higher because you invested all in today's rate environment. On the mutual fund side, it takes a little longer for the yield to catch up with where the market is today because you still have yields embedded from a lower rate environment. So we had separately managed accounts with the customization, with the attractive yields. And then over time, mutual funds are catching up for more people also who are looking at a little more total return perspective. And when we think on the mutual fund side too, the flows have picked up, but we think they'll really increase once we get to the point where people are more comfortable with what the Fed is going to do and that rates are not going to go up. We think we keep hearing about all this money on the sidelines.
Yeah.
And it's slowly starting to come in, but we really think we'll see a pickup when the stability is more clear.
Yeah, that's certainly something we've seen as well in my conversations with clients that I think there's 20 some trillion of cash on the side, depending on how you measure cash, but that is, you know, we've never seen that before. And certainly in other cycles, as the Fed is rising or they're increasing rates, money stays on the sidelines because looking in the rearview mirror, that's been the best investment. But looking forward, usually by the time the Fed starts to cut, you see that money start to flow into things. So it feels like we're at that period right now. I know I'd love to get your view. Where do you think the Fed is moving this year? Do you think rates will continue to creep up, or do you have an opinion there?
Well, let me answer two questions on that, two things on that one, because one is you brought up T-bills, which is an interesting thing we've gone through in our business too, where on the separately managed account side for the decade before 2022, people weren't worried if, you know, the cash was not being invested for 2 or 3 weeks. Now they've gotten very concerned about making sure they don't earn zero when T-bills are paying 5% or so. So we made a big technology change so we can invest new accounts in the cash and T-bills to get people invested right away and start earning. Mm-hmm. And what's also interesting is that also it creates the capability where people who have T-bills in their accounts can deposit them with us and we can hold on to them. And as they mature, we reinvest the money.
Oh, interesting.
So it's been a kind of interesting, and a lot of money has been coming in through that. So that's on the T-bill side. In terms of what the Fed is doing, you know, we never anticipated this huge number of cuts this year. That just seemed unrealistic given where the market was and where economic indicators were coming in. And we don't really invest with a prediction. We're more relative value, so we're not trying to call rates. But at the same time, we have to recognize what's going on. And it seems like the Fed is so focused on getting inflation under control that they're going to achieve it. And numbers are starting to look a little bit better. And they really want to cut rates. So I think they really are itching to do it when they can. And so we still anticipate before the end of the year, they will do something in terms of cutting rates. But they still need to see a little more before they get to that point.
Right. It does feel like they want to. They've definitely given that dovish indication, but the numbers have to cooperate, as you're saying. How about relative value between munis and taxable or munis and treasuries, let's say? How has that picture changed over the year?
And the answer is not consistent across the market because there's so many different variables. And one of the things we talk about a lot is how last year or so, the yield curve was inverted in that 3 to 10 year range, and it did in the taxable markets. And for the first time ever, it did it on the municipal bond market as well. But while the whole inversion was happening, the flattening was happening in all markets, in municipals from 10 years out to 30 years, we were steepening. While the rest of the markets were flattening last year, and we've kept that steepness, we've almost got a little steeper this year. So when you answer the question on relative value, the inside of 10 years, we still think there's good value. I wouldn't say it's cheap. There's good value in the market.
I see.
And there are ways to manage it, which we've been doing through barbell structures instead of bullets in the intermediate range. But where you really can see relative value be very strong is the longer 15 to 30 year part of the market where we're steep and look attractive versus other markets. And one other thing I'll mention too, because people like looking at the ratios of AAA munis to treasuries, and that's been for a long time the kind of the starting point for relative value. And the AAA part of the market is now under 20% of the issuance. So it's not a big part of the market. And the spreads now between different coupons and calls are wider than you would see credit quality spreads. So even though the relative, you look at the treasury to AAAs and say maybe the ratio isn't where you want it to be, there's a lot of bonds in the market that are, that we're buying with different structures. So even if someone's saying a 5-year might not be as attractive as it's been historically, we're finding a lot of opportunities in the market to invest and take advantage of that and find the opportunities, even though that ratio might not tell you the stories there.
I see. So the ratio of AAA to Treasury looks great, really past 10 years, but you're saying inside of 10 years, there are other opportunities there that make maybe just a mediocre ratio actually somewhat attractive.
And you look at that AAA ratio too, and as we mentioned before, I've been doing this over 30 years. Mm-hmm. Since the credit crisis in 2008, before pre-credit crisis, there were always AAA bond insurers. And that meant almost 60% of new issuance had AAA on them. Mm-hmm. So it was a very different situation when you have that much AAA. With all the bond insurers coming out of the credit crisis either disappearing or being downgraded, now we have the smaller part of the market that's AAA. Mm-hmm. And so it's a very different market. And so we're looking at historical ratios. It may look like it's not as attractive, but that's because you have so many fewer and there's a lot of other opportunities in the A and AA that weren't there before.
Interesting. Okay. So you mentioned credit spreads had tightened somewhat this year. Are the fundamentals still supporting where levels are today in credit? You seem to still be enthusiastic about credit. Tell me the picture there.
Yes, we definitely are enthusiastic. And it's not a blanket statement that the whole market is right. Good. There definitely are some sectors under pressure. But what we see in the municipal bond side is that default rates are remaining at historically low levels. And with municipal bond defaults too, it's not like they happen overnight. You see them for a year, a couple of years where they're getting, hitting reserve funds, they're getting forbearance to get around covenants. So you can kind of telegraphing it for a while. We're not seeing a huge pickup in that either right now. So for overall, the default rates are low. The credit quality is strong. And so we're very, we think there's a lot of great opportunities in that part of the market. At the same time, there is like a sector like senior living, which is a decent sized sector in the high yield market. And that's one where we are seeing stress. We are seeing these covenant violations and things like that. And to give you an idea of our active management pre-2020, when the sector was doing well, we had 11% of our high yield fund in the senior living sector. Now we're under 3%. Hmm. So it is something where it's not something you can trade very fast, but we took our time and made sure we reacted. So that's the one sector of the market that we're not comfortable with, but everything else is in pretty good shape.
Any highlights in terms of sectors that you are favorable on?
One would be charter schools. Charter schools are there's demand is strong. They get good reimbursement. A lot of people are finding good results out of those. So around the country, they're a good sector. Mm-hmm. Industrial development bonds. A lot of people don't think of corporations, public, the public companies being in the municipal bond market, but we have quite a few in the municipal bond market. So they're really good opportunities. Industrial development bonds, and in healthcare too. They have to be careful. I mean, this is healthcare, meaning hospitals, but there's a lot of really good opportunities with hospitals that are, they're in a market. They're the only provider in the market. They're always going to have financials that are a little bit tighter than the stronger ones, but they have great market position, and we can find some good opportunities there.
Interesting. Great. Great overview. I can't let you go, though, without talking a little more about the election. We already mentioned maybe some increased issuance, possibly in the summer leading up to the election. Any other considerations we should be thinking about prior to the election?
Elections are always a big deal, and on the municipal bond side, the two things we look at in elections. The first one is taxes, because obviously that has the biggest impact on the after tax yields. Because everyone looking at municipal bond, always starting point, the yield looks low versus the taxable market. But then when you take taxes into account, they look attractive. And so one of the things we look at is taxes, and on that side of things, it kind of in the situation now where the deficit's pretty big at the federal level. And even if, usually the Republicans are known for wanting to lower taxes, and even if they want to at this point, it's just very hard with the deficit where it is. So it would be unlikely that they could really make any material changes there. And Democrats, if they get control, pretty much are more in the direction of wanting to increase taxes. So overall, if we have an unchanged or an increase, it's relatively good. And that's the individual side. On the corporate side, back you know, when the last time we had a big tax change in 2017, the corporate tax rate went from 35% to 21%. And we don't think of the municipal bond market as a market for corporate bonds, but corporate buyers. But we had insurance companies and banks that suddenly went from 35% to 21%,
right,
and their demand really shrunk. And there is discussion of potentially the corporate rate going up a little bit. That could bring some of those buyers back in. So taxes are really the thing. We think no matter which direction it goes, it's not bad for municipals this time, just given the deficit and the structure. The only other thing I'll mention is there are all these esoteric things in municipals. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when they get to like agreements and bills, things get thrown in there. It's stuff that we never think about, not major impact, but there are little things on the side that there are things like whether you do Build America bonds again, then taxable bonds, whether issuers can refinance with tax-exempt bonds. There are always little things out there that you have to worry about when they get to an agreement, what might be thrown in. But we're thinking there's not much that can happen right now in that direction either.
Right. Okay. Sounds great. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you.
And thank you all for listening. Be sure to visit the insights section of lordabbott.com to find all of our Mid-Year Outlook articles and other market commentary. Once again, thanks to Dan Solander, director of Lord Abbott's Tax-Free Fixed Income Group, for joining today.
This podcast is intended solely for informational purposes and is not a recommendation, offer, or solicitation. The contents are based on available information at creation and subject to change. It is not intended as investment, legal, or tax advice. Lord Abbott is not acting as your fiduciary. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk, including the loss of capital. Certain information contained herein has been obtained from third-party sources, and such information has not been independently verified by Lord Abbott. The views and opinions expressed by the Lord Abbott speaker are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent the views of the firm as a whole. References to specific asset classes and financial markets are for illustrative purposes only. Neither Lord Abbott nor the Lord Abbott speaker can be responsible for any direct or incidental loss incurred by applying any of the information offered. The information in this podcast does not constitute an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction. This broadcast is the copyright 2024 of Lord Abbott & Co. LLC, all rights reserved. This recording may not be reproduced in whole or in part or any form without the permission of Lord Abbott. Lord Abbott Mutual Funds are distributed by Lord Abbott Distributor LLC. For additional information on risk and a glossary of terms used in this broadcast, visit lordabbott.com. This episode was recorded on May 22, 2024.